these streaming services that we are talking about, are they killing off television as we know it?
Well, it's a big question, and I think a lot of the free-to-air kind of networks are quite concerned about it. In fact, even I was watching the other day a little bit of the new Rove McManus show, which has been axed after just two episodes, and I only could get through the first few minutes, but even that, like the whole, his shtick, the whole first section was about the challenges of launching a new Saturday night kind of broadcast TV show and kind of going around to people's homes and knocking on the door to see whether they actually would stay in to watch broadcast TV, scheduled TV on a Saturday. And the answers were overwhelmingly no. I mainly watch content on my own time and in my own terms on streaming services. So clearly, like, it's a big hot topic for the free-to-air networks and has been for quite a while. And as we have more subscription streaming services about to launch, it's just going to be more and more of an issue for them. So yes, I guess when our whole televisual kind of culture has shifted and the way we consume TV has kind of shifted with it, it's going to be very hard for the free-to-air networks to kind of change our habits back to kind of that scheduled viewing structure that they're based on.
It's an excellent, I think, example, that one with Rove's latest show, because it seems to me a little bit of a dichotomy, and maybe a split between the idea of event television, television that is meant to be watched right then and there, and I feel like some networks are moving towards that with more and more reality TV programming that kind of, well, is irrelevant if you don't sort of catch it on the night it's actually watched, as opposed to that other sort of method of watching that you mentioned there, watching it in my own time, on my own terms.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Obviously, Saturday Night Rove was trying to go for that kind of hype and kind of create event television. But yeah, reality TV, rather than that kind of live variety show format, I think is perfectly positioned to function like that kind of event television, as you mentioned, because it's quite dependent on social media conversations as they are kind of unfolding. So, you know, if you're into The Bachelor, for instance, you get so much more out of that show if you're actually following the hashtags on Twitter and the memes, so you can kind of watch it ironically and with that community. So I think that is a pretty accurate assumption and prediction that we might be seeing the free-to-air networks rely even more on reality TV in the future.
And just for, you know, these streaming services and the amount of them that we see cropping up now, I remember when Netflix sort of first came to Australia, and I didn't necessarily see it breaking the hold of traditional free-to-air television, but certainly Foxtel, pay TV, and the kind of iron grip it had had on the market for many, many years. And, you know, it used to price like it had an iron grip as well. In terms of Netflix coming in and now having that success, we've seen more and more and more streaming services kind of cropping up and available to Australian audiences. Are they kind of now eating themselves?
Yes, well, it will be very interesting to see what happens when we get Disney Plus, the really big competition for Netflix in November, and probably soon after that we'll get Apple TV Plus, which are two subscription streaming services that are, like Netflix, focusing a lot on original blockbuster content. So I think between those three in particular, we'll see a very heated battle for subscriptions. And obviously there's that question of how many subscription video streaming services will Australian households pay for? Because surely there must be a limit. And some industry commentators have suggested maybe around three could be the limit for a lot of Australian households. But yes, that is, it will be interesting to see which services survive. I am quite worried about the Australian service Stan, which has been doing really well competing with Netflix, but and it has a lot of Australian content, which is great, a lot more than Netflix. I think it's around 9%, so it's still not huge, but a lot more than Netflix, which is kind of under 2%. But yeah, Stan also has a lot of Disney content, so that could be an issue when Disney Plus launches. I'm sure they won't be keen to let Stan kind of keep that blockbuster Disney catalogue. Although there have been talks about like kind of predictions that Stan and Disney Plus may team up in some way, although I don't really know how that will look when they'll both be competing for subscribers. So yes, it's kind of uncharted territory, and it'll be very interesting to see which services actually survive, I suppose.
And in terms of Australian programming, is it all bad news for Australian programs, given we are kind of, well, small potatoes compared to some of the audiences internationally that these services might be streaming to?
Yeah, well, hopefully it's not all bad news. Maybe Stan will gravitate even more towards Australian original content, seeing that as a key strength and distinctive feature. That would be an exciting thing to see from our Australian subscription video streaming service. And Netflix has this really interesting strategy of trying to, like, still tapping into local markets. I think mainly, this is probably a cynical point of view, but mainly to keep local governments and local industries as happy as possible so they don't get faced with regulation and other sticky kind of policy issues. But Netflix have tried to strategically partner with local industries in some ways. They're increasingly pivoting towards creating these exclusive kind of globally marketable hits, but they're trying, I think, to do that through co-productions with local networks and local kind of production crews and studios. For instance, it has been announced recently that Netflix will make another kind of Made in Australia production in the next few months or year or so, but it sounds like it's going to be set in America fictionally, so we could see some really bizarre kind of combos there where, like, we're getting there are Australian industries involved, but it's made for a kind of global and vaguely American market with American characters and American accents and Australian locations being presented as if they were the US. So that will be interesting to see how that develops. But Netflix have made a few kind of co-productions with the ABC, for instance, so hopefully we will continue to see that in the future.
Obviously one to keep our eyes on. Jess, thanks very much. I do really appreciate your time joining us this morning.
Thanks very much for having me.